Perhaps you've seen the news this last week. I'm not positive if you watch the news or listen to the news or read the news. I prefer to read the news myself. Helps me filter it better. But this week, Elon Musk has offered to buy Twitter for $44 billion. At first, it did not look like it would go through, but now it looks like it very well may close. He says he would like to restore freedom of speech. As you may know, Twitter is an app that allows its users to share their thoughts and ideas. They banned President Trump around the last election time, and they've arbitrarily chose to limit conversations about President-elect Biden and his son Hunter in the past. Elon Musk, of course, is one of the richest men on Earth, so making a profit is less important to him. But he says he wants there to be freedom of speech on the app. He's tired, he says, of being censored. He sends prolific tweets. I guess you could say he is a busy tweeter. I don't use the app myself, as I'm not positive too many people would be that interested in what Rehor is thinking about. But Elon Musk is very interested in not being censored, and he wants to say whatever he wishes. He doesn't want to be censored, and he doesn't want anyone else to be censored, even if they are what they are saying is harmful or not at all truthful. He wants it so bad that he has put up $1 billion of non-refundable earnest money. That's a lot of earnest money to walk away from. If the deal falls through, he walks away from $1 billion. That is serious earnest money. In other news, just yesterday, former President Trump joined his own social platform. Anybody know what the name of that is? Got one hand in the back. Truth Social. It's a bit ironic, perhaps. Truth, they're naming it. His first post said, "I'm back." If you're looking for truth, I'm not sure that we'll find it there. Time will tell, I guess. "I'm back" is in reference to him being permanently banned from Twitter. I presume under the new ownership, when and if that comes about, he'll be reinstated on Twitter. And then in my opinion, if you're working on speaking truth, that would be the most appropriate time to say, "I'm back." The new app is floundering, so who knows if that will make it or not. Time will tell. I'm not a real big fan of the app already for three reasons. Again, I'm not positive how much truth is going to be on the app. It might be mislabeled, it might be misbranded, it might be misleading. It maybe should be called "It's All About Me" or MAGA or "Make America Great Again" or something different. Secondly, I don't like that its name is similar to Life, Hope, and Truth, a brand that we as a church have promoted and I feel is totally different. And thirdly, I think it will or could water down the definition of the word truth. If it becomes popular, it may further slant people's definition of what truth really is. The Bible talks about truth, and I don't believe there will be much of it on the app, if any. They also don't have an Android app yet, so who knows if it will make it or not. I'm an Android fan. I haven't seen it on Apple yet, but I know it's there. Thirdly, in the news, just this morning, I have an article from one of my favorite websites. One of my favorite websites is called allsides.com, allsides.com. It's a news site that shows you current events, but gives you three choices on every topic. If you haven't been there, it's pretty interesting. There's an article written by the left, there's a moderate reporter, and then there's a newspaper or an article with a slant from the right. If you've not visited the site, it's kind of interesting. But on allsides.com, there's an article that states, "Government launches disinformation governance board." Is the government's new disinformation governance board necessary to combat fake news, or is it a threat to free speech? I kid you not, there is a new governance body as of Thursday that will deal with free speech, misinformation and disinformation, and censorship. It is a new Department of Homeland Security board designed to police disinformation. New legislation that just came out this morning calls this new board a Stalin-level censorship. New legislation hopes to shut down this new arm of the Homeland Security. So even the government is trying to get a handle on the lies and the disinformation that is being spread via apps and news agencies. I almost smile because, as we know, the government is not always good at doing things like that. But this topic of free speech should be of interest to us as it could directly affect our future. But again, that's not the main topic I wish to cover today. All this mess, I'll say, boils down to a four-letter word spelled L-I-E-S, or lies. Misinformation, in my opinion, is a nice way of saying lying. We have lies on one hand, very, very, very common in this world, and of course, truth on the other hand. The Bible speaks of it. Put in your notes, if you don't mind, Ephesians 4 and verse 25. I'll read Ephesians 4 and verse 25 from the Contemporary English Version. And it translates the verse this way. It says, "Do not tell lies to others." Paul admonished, says, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor." I like it. It's pretty succinct. If this happened, if the world would focus on Ephesians 4 and verse 25, Homeland Security could go back to protecting its borders or our borders. Elon Musk could save $44 billion, and Donald Trump could go back to building hotels if the world was more concerned about truth rather than lies. I spent a bit of time thinking about truth, determining how truthful we are to the people around us and to ourselves, and see how the world's trends of dishonesty and misinformation is affecting us. I wish to determine if the truth is found in us. That's the title of the second split. Is the truth found in us? The Apostle Paul stated that an essential trait of the Creator God is that he always tells the truth. He cannot lie. Wouldn't it be great if that was said about us? During the recent holy days, we learned that we, of course, are to imitate Christ. Let's turn our Bibles to Titus 1 and verse 2. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. Titus 1, the second verse says, "This truth gives them confidence that they have eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised them before the world began." The fact that we are told and we see that God always keeps his word gives us confidence in our future. It gives us, of course, stability. Wouldn't it be great if our government would never lie to us? Wouldn't that give us confidence and stability? Likewise, if we always tell the truth, we always tell the truth, people would be confident in our word. I think at times we don't really think it really matters if we bend the truth a little bit or we stretch it. That's something that I'm always working on myself. I'm constantly trying to stand by my word. In business, it's very important. People remember and have much better memories than we think. If we say something in passing, or if we text them something quickly in a text, then we do something different, that can be a form of lying. It's easy to do. It happens quickly. About 5 years ago, my wife and I think Danielle and Michaela were with us. We spent several weeks in St. Lucia. It's a decent-sized island with 200,000 people on the island, and while we were on the island, a lady was tragically killed in a minibus accident. Serious accidents are super rare on the island, and we were absolutely amazed that everyone on the island seemed to know this lady. You see, she had a small bakery in the shop down the coast in a small town called Dennery. She baked bread in the traditional manner, and thousands of people on the island seemed to know her. In fact, everybody we ran into was talking about this lady that they knew. She had a good reputation. If you're familiar with the saying, your reputation precedes you, we were amazed how her reputation preceded and outlasted her. Likewise, in life, even without a tragedy like this, people do not forget what we say and what we do. You impact a lot more people than you think, and you impact them in a larger way than you probably realize. I know it's easy with social media to impact lots of people because you simply type something and it goes out, and who will read it. Even when someone is in the wrong or is irritating to you, I guess our question is, how do we respond or how do we react to that? Do we call them out? Are we truthful? Are we kind? Are we forgiving in our speech? Tammy and I were on a walk on Thursday night, and Tammy mentioned that she feels like she says less as she gets older. My first thought was, well, that's probably not a bad thing. Not that she ever talked as much as I do. I know that sounds strange. You always have to wait for a little bit before you come out with a response like that. But I know for myself, I could probably talk less. I could measure my words more. I could listen more. Because, of course, the less I talk, the more I can think and make sure what I do say is truthful, is uplifting, and is honest. You see, this truth and honesty concept is, of course, far-reaching. Proverbs says, a kind word turns away wrath. We're familiar with that scripture. It's understood that those kind words are also truthful words. Few things are more upsetting than to find someone lied to you while being nice to your face. Let's turn over to 2 Chronicles 10 and verse 6, if you would. It's a story about King Rehoboam. First part of the story. 2 Chronicles 10, we'll read verses 6 through 8. It says, then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he still lived, saying, how do you advise that I answer these people? That's verse 6. And they spoke to him, saying, if you are kind to these people, and please them, and speak good words to them, they will be your servants forever. I feel this scripture encourages us to not only seek wise counsel, but also speak kind and pleasantly to people in truth. Of course, it should be our goal. Again, hearing about this lady in St. Lucia was encouragement to me to be a positive example and let my calling influence others in my behavior. Our truthful, kind, and positive speech is perhaps the biggest way we can do this. I spoke about this topic a few years ago, and I choose to speak about it again, as the world around us has no regard to what is truthful and what should be said and what should not be said. Not only am I working on my filter to determine what truth is and what is disinformation, I am working on myself. I can only change myself, and I have absolutely no control over what the White House does. I have no control over what Elon Musk does. I can only monitor and try to improve Jerry Rehor. You can, of course, monitor and try to improve only yourself. Our first point today is to determine how truthful we are to those around us. Again, if you're taking notes, that's point number one. Determine how truthful we are to those around us. We have to consciously think about it and say, how do I do in that regard? How truthful am I to those around us? Wouldn't, of course, it be nice if it was impossible for us to lie? Being a truth teller, of course, must be our quest in becoming perfect. Again, we're told in Matthew 5 and verse 48, you don't need to turn there, Matthew 5 and verse 48 says, therefore you shall be perfect. In other words, I want you to be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Again, I hope we're still working on the sins that we found in our pre-Passover examination process. What we found, of course, takes work and time and continued improvement so that we are in a better place months from now or a year from now. To grow, we have to keep this scripture in mind. I'm hoping that I am, and I'm hoping that you are keeping this self-examination time and effort in our minds. Let it not be a waste, but keep working on yourselves and working to become more Christ-like and become more perfect, as the scripture says. Even in stressful and difficult situations that we are all in, truth should shine through us. Let's turn to one more scripture before we move on. It's Ephesians 4 and verse 15. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. Ephesians 4 verse 15 says, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." So our goal should be speaking the truth in love so we may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Jesus Christ. Again, I wanted to talk about how truthful we are to those around us. Of course, we can only change ourselves. We cannot change the world, and we can't change those around us. Let's now talk about how truthful we are to ourselves. In my opinion, in our pre-Passover examination, we had to first determine to be truthful with ourselves. It's a human nature always to see ourselves in the best light possible, at least it is for me. We have to be brutally honest with ourselves. It's good to be that way with yourself. It's not good to be brutally honest with other people sometimes. If I paraphrase 1 John 1 and verse 8, it says, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves." Again, if we're going to be brutally honest with ourselves, this 1 John 1 and verse 8 comes to mind. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And that's 1 John 1 and verse 8. So again, we need to be honest with ourselves as a first step. So point number two is, are we focused on the importance of truth? Continuing on this topic of truth, point number two, are you focused on the importance of truth? The days of unleavened bread were about being truthful with ourselves, and as we continue on, let's further confirm God's wishes. Turn your Bibles to Psalms 15 and verse 1, if you would. The heading in this scripture passage catches my attention. It says, "The character of those who may dwell with the Lord." That's catching to me. That's interesting to me. Psalms chapter 15. Psalms chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, says, "Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may be on your holy hill?" Again, this is Psalms 15, verses 1 and 2. And verse 2 says, "He who walks uprightly, he who works righteousness, and he who speaks the truth in his heart." So again, it's a pretty clear scripture there. Again, who may dwell with the Lord? He who speaks truth in his heart. So those who will eventually be part of God's kingdom will be those who have learned to speak the truth from their heart. In 3 John, we're told, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth." Again, there's scripture after scripture after scripture encouraging us to focus on what is truth. That scripture, 3 John 1 and verse 4, I just read to you. "I have no greater joy." What do you think about that? No greater joy. That's pretty strong. I guess the question is he talking about you? Is he talking about me? I have no greater joy in you because you speak the truth. Turn into a number of scriptures, but one more on this point is 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 6. Driving home the point that truth is very, very important to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 6. It says, love suffers long. I guess starting in verse 4. I'm sorry, I started in verse 4, and we'll read through 6. Verse 4, it says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. It thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity. But there it is, it rejoices in the truth. Again, it's 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 6. I feel this is referring to us being totally truthful. Truthful with others, being truthful with ourselves, and enjoying the knowledge that God is truthful with us. Being truthful is important. Point number 3. Are we aware of the lies around us? Again, when we're talking about truth, we have to not only have a filter ourselves, but we have to filter what we hear from others. We have to filter what we hear in the news. We have to filter everything that is being said or shown to us. I put this as the third point because, of course, we have less control of it, but I think it's wise to be aware of the lies that are around us. Again, I talked a little bit about in my introduction, and I wish to emphasize the importance of the lies and the influences around us. Again, not all influences are bad, but some influences can be bad. With what we hear on the radio, what we listen to on the TV, and what we get on our phones, we are influenced. I don't think we realize it as much as we should. I know I don't, because we're, of course, influenced without realizing it. The U.S. media certainly likes to sway one's opinion, and it can sway our opinion one way without us even knowing it. There's lots to be said, of course, about CRT or woke or gay and lesbian rights and the acceptance of same-sex marriages, just to name a few. So the million-dollar question might be, are we constantly going to the Bible as our only one and true source to reconfirm what we think is based on what God thinks is okay or not okay on these topics? It's a long sentence, probably a run-on sentence. Let me repeat that again. The question is, are we constantly going to the Bible as our only one and true source to reconfirm what we think is based on what God thinks is okay or not okay on this topic or that topic? If you're in college or high school, and I see four or five or three or four of you in that sector, I encourage you to make sure your filter is on and that you're thinking about what is being told to you, as your professors or your teachers will have good arguments and they will be convincing. They might be diametrically opposite, though, of what God says is normal and natural and how God created things to be. I had a logic professor myself in college. He was very convincing. He was one of my professors. I was supposed to believe him and trust in his knowledge. And simply put, he was a kook. He really was. He had certainly convinced himself of some strange premises. And when we as students asked questions, he told us that our questions were not real questions. He flat out told us that is a non-question. He refused to answer them. He was a logic professor, and he was not very logical. This world right now is confused and not speaking the truth about lots and lots of different topics. I don't think that's news to you, but it's good review. One example, of course, is the misinformation about males and females. It's being said that there are people that do not believe that there are any real differences between a male and a female. I recently heard the other side of that argument. He says, if you don't think there are many differences between males and females, just go and try to get an egg from a rooster and try to milk a bull. The difference between male and female may become very apparent very quickly. We know from the Bible that God created males and females with different strengths and different roles, both important, both different, not one better than the other. We must protect ourselves from some of the misinformation that is around us. Let's see what Paul said on how we should protect ourselves. Let's turn over to Ephesians 6 and verse 14. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14. Paul stated that we should wrap ourselves in truth. Wrapping ourselves in truth protects us spiritually in the way that wrapping on a wide belt to cover our midsection protects our vital organs. Verse 14 says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. So in other words, protect yourself, surround yourself with truth to keep yourself safe. So in other words, if we surround ourselves by truth, we can be protected from this misinformation and from these lies that are around us. Again, going back to see what the Bible states about some of these topics has to be our go-to, our default. Of course, it's easier to, of course, Google it and see what the experts say or to see another point of view, but going to see what God thinks is more important. The Bible gives us indications or directions on nearly every topic being debated in today's world. Easter was just a week or two ago, and I saw my neighbors doing their usual Easter egg activities. I've watched them for years, and I can't quite figure out what they do. Again, I like cute bunnies, I like eggs, and you know I like chocolate, so there's lots to like. But my neighbors do something with eggs and a bat near the small lake or pond at the end of my driveway every Easter. I have no idea, but it looks like fun, but it's kind of strange. I know, though, it is based on misinformation. It's based and twisted into something that they associate with something holy. I'm simply not interested in that. Feel free, parents, as you're teaching your kids to call a spade, or teaching your kids about different things, tell them about the lies that are found in these holidays and tell them this or that lie is why we don't celebrate that. This tradition or this holiday is based on a lie. Remember, Satan is where lies and misinformation and dishonesty derives from. Satan is the father of lies. Jesus Christ explained this to those that were justifying themselves and sneering at them. Let's actually turn over to John 8 and verse 44. This is where Christ calls out Satan. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 8 and verse 44. It says, Christ speaking here, says, you are of your father the devil, which is calling somebody out right there, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar, and in fact, he is the father of lies, or the fathers of it. Father of it, John 8 and verse 44. So, brethren, be careful with our speech. Again, that's the point I'm driving home. Speak the truth, and as we do, we can be careful about what is said of you or me. When we first think and speak the truth, we are of our godly Father. When we lie, or if we speak too fast, or don't think enough, we can be of Satan. The first recorded lie was when Satan, through the serpent, told Eve that God was lying. Do you remember that? Let's turn back to Genesis 3 and verse 4. It's a, when you think about it, it's humorous or diametrically opposite. Genesis 3 and verses 4 through 5. Again, this is the first recorded lie when Satan, through the serpent, told Eve that God, the one that's impossible to lie, was lying. He says, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. You know what? God lied to you. For he knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be just like him, knowing good and evil. Again, it was a diabolic act of deception, lying by calling our totally trustworthy God a liar. Again, I bring all this up to make sure that we are not doing anything of the same shape or form. The tendency to perpetuate various beliefs as fact is becoming more and more common. Again, I know even in the IT world, it's very easy for somebody to tell you something in a way that it sounds like that is a fact, or that you know it for a fact. In reality, it is your opinion. It can be a lie if we perpetuate some of our opinions or some of our thoughts or some of our ideas as fact. The tendency to perpetuate various beliefs as fact is becoming more and more common. There are influencers, of course, on Instagram and other media sources that get behind a product, or they get behind an idea or a concept, and we see it and we hear it enough that we start to see it as reasonable and we start to see it as a viable concept, when in actuality, it's a gimmick, or it might be a fraud, or it might be a lie. Why? Simply because we've accustomed to seeing the idea for long enough, and it's been presented by enough different people. We can start to believe that it is okay to do so, when possibly it might not be okay to do so in God's eyes. So the serpent in our example of what not to be, as we begin to close, let's turn to an example of what we are to be. Again, our goal. Let's turn over to 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. Second Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. His is added, but not concerning promise or promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us. In other words, he's patient, not willing that we or any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So you see that God wants us to follow his example and live a life of keeping our promises, or said differently, being truthful. He is truthful. He wants us to be truthful and will continue to be patient with us as we improve and work on ourselves. If we read between the lines, he will be patient with us as we fall short and repent when we fail. Keeping our word, or telling the truth, is us following his example of not being slack, as Peter calls it. Again, I started out talking about three news events, Twitter being sold, as its new owner can perpetuate his idea of truth and the freedom of speech. Talked about the new app called Truth Social. And I talked about the new White House committee to limit disinformation. All three have fundamental problems. And of course, we know there is only one real solution. Jesus said to the Jews that believed in him, he says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It's probably a memory scripture for you, John 8 and verse 31. And if you know the truth shall make you free. Knowing the truth, of course, freed the disciples from deception, it freed them from errors, and it freed them from heresies. Speaking the truth, being called by the truth, and walking in the truth are indeed our goals, so that we can be aware of the deception, so that we can be aware of the misinformation and the heresies in the world around us. Brethren, work with me and let us have the truth, and let the truth be found in us.